This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today, Pastor Rick continues in a series called 40 Days of Love. In these lessons, he shows us how to achieve the goals of obedience to Christ and living a life of love on a day-to-day basis. In just a bit, we'll tell you how to get a DVD study kit of this series that's perfect for your individual study and also great to do with a small group of friends. You can take a sneak peek by going to PastorRick.com right now while you listen. Or you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called Love Lets It Go.
Philippians chapter 2. Your attitude should be the same that Jesus Christ had. Though he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God. He made himself nothing. He took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. He was God, but he was understanding, not demanding. Circle, he did not demand and cling to his own rights. Anytime you hear somebody at a restaurant or at a ticket counter or saying, I have my rights, they're being demanding, not understanding. One of the greatest tests of your character is how you treat the people who serve you. The waiters, the waitresses, the flight attendants, the people at fast food places, the mail person who delivers your mail, gardeners, secretaries, employees, people who work with you. How do you treat the people who help you out? Do you even notice them? Do you know their names? Do you know the names of the people who clean your house, if your house is clean? Do you know the names of people who serve you in different ways? It's treating people with respect, and you be understanding, not demanding. You know, I travel a lot, and I've found pretty quickly that around the world, Americans have a pretty bad reputation for being demanding. We are considered to be a very demanding group of tourists. That whenever we want, Americans want it their way, and they want it their way now, and that concept of the ugly American who is not understanding but demanding is really all around. So when our team travels, we try to bend over backwards, literally, to befriend and to be understanding of the people who help us. You know, if I'm in an airport, the president of Delta makes no difference to me who he is, or the vice president. But I do want to know the names of the baggage attendant and the checking person in and being nice to the people who help you get on the plane and help you get seated. And we have done this in airports. Actually, we have friends all around the world in airports. Steve and I do. They're not the people who run the airports. They're the people who sweep up and who help with baggage. And it's just knowing people and treating them with respect and learning their names and befriending them. And I've discovered that the secret of great service, and this isn't why you do it, but the secret of great service is simply respect people. Because so few people are actually respected. They do their job and nobody's even looking at them. Nobody's paying attention to them. Nobody's considerate of their feelings. Nobody is sympathetic of what they're going through. Nobody respects them. So here's my homework for you this week. I want you to practice being understanding, not demanding. If you go out to lunch this afternoon, or you go to a store, whatever, be understanding, not demanding. Realizing that clerk may have had a tough time, may have had just gotten chewed out by their boss or whatever. But practice this being understanding, not demanding. Now, you know the best place to practice it? How about home? Sometimes we're more polite to strangers than we are to the people in our lives. And I've said this before, but I don't know if it bothers you. It bothers me that sometimes I say the meanest things, the most unthoughtful things to the people I love the most. I don't know if that bothers you, but it bothers me. It bothers me a lot that I could be nice to strangers and not nice in the same capacity to people I'm around all the time. Notice this next verse, Titus 3:2. Believers shouldn't curse anyone or be quarrelsome, but they should be gentle and show courtesy to everyone. Circle courtesy. What is courtesy? Courtesy is showing love in little things. That's what it is. It's showing love in the little things, where you just let people be kind to people. And a lot of marriages die from a lack of courtesy, because the things that you used to do for each other, you don't do anymore. The little niceties, the thoughtful things, the notes, the cards, the flowers, the calls, the courtesies, the opening the door, the let me get that for you. It's now get it yourself. And a lot of marriages are buried from a lot of little digs. Just a little lack of courtesy. Now, how do you be more understanding of people who are demanding in your life? Well, the Bible tells us that patience comes from perspective. That the more you understand about a person, the more patient you're going to be with them. I'm impatient with people I don't understand. But when I know them, and I know them well, I'm going to know what I call the three B's. Their background, their battles, and their burdens. You need to, before you get short and sharp with anybody, you need to say, do I know their background? Do I know the battles they're going through right now? Do I know the burdens they're carrying? That's going to make you a lot more courteous to other people. We often look at people and go, look how far they have to go. But we don't stop and say, I wonder how far they've come. Maybe they were raised in a family where they had no model of kindness, no model of courtesy, no model of, maybe they grew up in a very dysfunctional home, and they've already gotten this far, and they ought to be applauded for that. And we're always looking at how far they've got to go. We don't look at how far they've come. So I look at their background. I look at their burdens. What are the problems they're carrying? They may be sick. They may have a temperature. The reason they may be a little irritable or demanding is they're not feeling good. Maybe they've got a back problem. Their surgery hadn't come up yet. And there are all kinds of battles and burdens that people carry that you and I don't know about. Love is understanding, not demanding. Look at this verse on the screen. A man's wisdom, that means having that perspective, gives him what? Patience. Patience comes from perspective. It is his glory to overlook an offense. Do you overlook offenses, or are you offended by offenses? Are you so touchy and irritable that anybody looks at you crosswise or forgets to say something or even walks past you and didn't even see you, then you take that offensive? The Bible says it is a glory to a man's or a woman's character to overlook an offense. Just blow it off. Love lets it go. Love just lets it go. Now, while we're talking about it, this is what we call the golden rule. The next verse says, do to others as you would have them do to you. That's all we're talking about in being understanding, not demand. Do to others what you would have them do to you. Now, a bunch of you turned the paper over, and I wasn't through with this point yet. So I will be tactful, but I will be truthful. Turn it back over. Because what happens with demanding people? Does that mean I'm just supposed to let them run over me? If somebody is demanding, they're a demanding person, do I just let them push me around? Do I just act like a doormat? Do I always just cave in and say, fine, whatever you want? No. Here's the key. Write this down. Be tender without surrender. Be tender without surrender. You don't let people just push you around. Jesus never caved in to manipulators. The religious leaders, the Pharisees, always tried to manipulate Jesus. And they were extremely demanding. They were very legalistic. And they had all kinds of demands that they themselves couldn't even keep. And Jesus would not let other demanding people, push him into a corner. You be tender without surrender. Now, that's what you call love in action.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Jesus said, "There's nothing more important than loving God and loving others." That's why Pastor Rick wants to send you the 40 Days of Love study kit that comes with a 6-session DVD and workbook. In these video sessions, Rick shows you how to allow love to become your dominant life value simply by focusing on the spiritual principles of patience, kindness, truth, and forgiveness. We'll send you the 40 Days of Love study kit as a way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Your prayers and gifts are taking God's message of hope across our nation and around the world. Call us now at 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com to get your copy. That's 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com. Today is the last day to get your copy of this great study resource, so don't wait.
Hi, everybody. It's Pastor Rick with some really big news. My Daily Hope devotionals are now available in Chinese. Isn't that great? We have over a full year of Chinese devotionals available. And if you know someone who would enjoy reading these devotionals in Chinese, please, right now, email me and I'll send you the link. My email is rick@pastorrick.com, rick@pastorrick.com. Thanks a lot.
Now, let's get back to more great teaching with Pastor Rick Warren.
Now, there's a third group that we have to deal with, and that is disappointing people. Disappointing people. You're going to be disappointed in life. In fact, everybody in your life is going to disappoint you. Your friends are going to disappoint you. Your family, your parents, your brother, your sisters, they're going to disappoint you. Your husband or your wife is going to disappoint you. I'm going to disappoint you as your pastor. Why? Because nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. And so how do you deal with disappointing people? And how does love respond when we are disappointed by people? Well, the third thing the Bible says is love is not irritable. It's not irritable. So write this down. I must be gentle, not judgmental. I must be gentle, not judgmental. One of the best examples on our staff of being gentle, not judgmental, is Pastor Buddy. So I asked Buddy if he would come and take this point. Would you give him a warm welcome?
Now, that was a rough introduction because I think you just set me up for failure. You may not feel that way after I finish telling the story about myself. Something that happened to me just on Friday to show you how gentle and undemanding and non-irritable I can be. I had a house full of teenagers. Oh, right there, that can set you off. But I had a house full of teenagers, and they're getting ready for homecoming at Mission Viejo High School, getting ready for the game. And so we had to feed all of these hungry people. So my wife says, "Hey, can you go to the store, get a couple things?" No problem. I love to go to the store. So I go to the store. I get my stuff. I'm back in the car. I'm in a hurry. And there's a light, you know, to get out of the parking lot. And I'm the third car waiting to make this turn. And so the light turns green. And the guy in the front, he does what he should do, steps on the gas, goes through the intersection, no problem. The car right in front of me doesn't. She just kind of sits there. And you know how you can look through the back window of the car and you can see if the driver's paying attention or looking down at something. She's looking straight ahead. She's looking right into the intersection, but she's just in no hurry to go anywhere. So she just slowly inches her way forward and comes to the crosswalk, and the light turns yellow and she stops. And I'm thinking, attaboy, lady, you know? So I just sort of tapped my horn and actually, I leaned on the horn. Felt a lot better about myself at the moment until I happened to look down and I looked at her license plate frame. Now, many of you probably know where I'm going with this. It said, "You matter to God, Saddleback Church." And I'm thinking, attaboy, pastor, you know? So I literally just sort of covered my face with my hand like this, got my hand on the wheel, you know? And the light turns green, and we make the turn, and I took the first right I could just to get away from her, hoping that she didn't recognize her pastor honking a horn at her in an intersection. So, that, you know, so much for love and action. Now, let's see what the scriptures have to say about how we can be gentle and not judgmental. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says this. It says, brothers and sisters, if someone in your group does something wrong, especially your pastor, you who are spiritual should go to that person and gently help make him right again. But be careful, because you might be tempted to sin too. You might want to circle the word gently. I love the fact that it says gently. And this is great advice for small group life. And the Bible tells us you've got to do it gently, not harshly, not in a rude or a mean way, but to do it with gentleness and with respect. There's a little equation I learned from Pastor Rick, and it's right plus rude equals wrong. Right plus rude equals wrong. Because it doesn't matter if you're right. If you're rude about it, nobody's going to care what you have to say. They're immediately going to get defensive. So you do it in a gentle and a loving way, not in a harsh and a cruel way. Now, let's look at this verse on the screen. Colossians 3:13, the Bible says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Notice it says whatever grievances. You can't be selective about this. Forgive whatever grievances you have against one another, and forgive as the Lord forgave you. And then in Romans 14:12, the Bible says this. Each of us will give an account of himself to God. We're not going to have to give it to each other. We'll give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let's stop passing judgment on each other. Now, it's important to understand the difference between using your judgment and being judgmental. Because I've talked to people who just let all kinds of things go on in relationships and say, well, I don't want to be judgmental. And so instead, they just become victims. There's a difference between using your judgment and being judgmental. You've got to use your judgment so you can see when something's going wrong. There's nothing wrong with doing that. You've got to be able to decide between wrong and right, to be able to know what the truth is. But the truth is not judgmental. It's only judgmental when you beat somebody over the head with it. That's when it becomes judgmental, when you start determining what their sentence is going to be. And the Bible says, look, you got to use your judgment. You got to be smart about things, but you don't have to be judgmental with people. The Bible says this in Proverbs 15:4. Gentle words bring life and health. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. And I love the way it says this in the Message paraphrase. It says, the kind words heal and help. They heal and help, but cutting words wound and maim. So we always have a choice when we need to speak to somebody, especially with our kids. Have you found how cutting words can just wound and maim a child? You can hurt them for years. But the Bible says that kind words are the words that will heal and help. So when your kids mess up, you don't have to get on their case and tell them, you know, you're whatever you think they are at the moment, but give them a vision of how things could be, like Pastor Rick was talking about a minute ago. Speak words of life and health and hope into them, not words of judgment and harshness, but be gentle. And it's the same way in our marriages. Man, how many marriage problems could be strengthened if we just waited a beat, if we just used words that were gentle and kind, and not harsh or vindictive. And you know, there are really so few things that are worth fighting about. And even the things that we think are worth fighting about, most of those aren't worth fighting about either. They're just temporal. They're going to pass. We've got to learn to cut each other some slack and be kind and gentle in our relationships. And then there's another verse that we threw in just in case you're having some problems at work with your boss. Look at what the Bible says here in Ecclesiastes 10:4. If your boss is angry with you, it's probably your fault. No, it doesn't say that. It says, if your boss is angry with you, don't quit. A quiet spirit can overcome even great mistakes. What that's saying is, look, if you mess up at work, just admit it. Don't blame it on somebody else. Don't get all defensive and start yelling back. Just be quiet about it. Do your job. Do it well. Do it for the glory of God. Because you're much more likely to find mercy if you're humble about it than if you're grumpy about it. So, love isn't rude, and it's not demanding, and it's not judgmental. And Pastor Rick's going to come back and tell us about the fourth aspect of love.
The fourth aspect has to do with dealing with destructive people. Now, this is the hardest one of all. How do you love people who intentionally hurt you, who are mean, who are hateful, who are manipulative? When people hurt us, we have two natural tendencies: remember it and retaliate. First, we remember it. We stockpile it in our mind. We put it back in the database. We say, I'm never forgetting that one. I'm never letting them off the hook. I'm going to watch them from now on. And we remember it and we rehearse it over and over and over. And the second thing we do is we retaliate and we want to get even. But that's not what the Bible says. Love takes a step up. And the Bible says love keeps no record of wrongs. It keeps no record of wrongs. So what does that mean? How do I respond to the people who have hurt me in my life? How do I handle all of those wounds, those pains, those hurts that I've stockpiled back there in my memory? Well, here's what you do. You don't repeat it, you delete it. Wipe it out of the memory bank, let it go, forgive it, and get on with your life.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time together, but first, if you missed anything, just go to PastorRick.com to listen online anytime or to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. One of the main reasons Pastor Rick started Daily Hope was to reach as many people as possible with the hope of Jesus Christ. And because of your prayers and donations, we're now reaching over 14 million people a month. But there are still many, many more people that need to hear the good news. Would you prayerfully consider giving a gift to Daily Hope today to help reach even more people for Jesus Christ? And when you do, we'll send you Pastor Rick's 40 Days of Love study kit to say thanks for your support of this ministry. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
Jesus says that the two most important things you can do while you're here on earth are to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, life is all about love. Now, as believers, it's not just enough to talk about love or to read about love or to discuss love. We must show it. We must exhibit it by the way we treat other people. Now, the Bible says that we do this. We learn to be genuinely loving people by relying on the love that God has for us. That's why I've put together a 6-session study kit called 40 Days of Love. It includes a study guide and a 6-session DVD that will teach you the habits of a loving heart. Now, you can go through it by yourself, but really, how are you going to learn to love by yourself? You need to do it in a small group with 2 or 3 friends or even more. Just get some friends and some neighbors and say, let's learn how to really love. And let's study this together for 40 days. Now, 40 Days of Love is going to teach you why love matters most, more than anything else. And it's going to teach you what the Bible means when it says that love is patient and love is kind and love speaks the truth. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love is forgiving. Now, I want to tell you something. This is a life-changing study. It changed my life when I did it. And it's going to change your life and those that you share it with. And if you really want to grow spiritually, you've got to learn how to love. Now, this month, we're offering the 40 Days of Love study kit for a financial gift to Daily Hope Ministries. I want everybody to be able to enjoy this study, so all I ask is that you help support Daily Hope Ministries. Now, I know some of you can afford a little bit more than others, and I appreciate that. It helps us keep on the air and helps us spread the message to other stations. But some of you, you're going through tough times and you don't have a whole lot. That's okay. I know you work hard for what you earn. I promise that whatever you give, no matter how large or small, that every cent that you send in to support Daily Hope goes right back into the ministry. I do this ministry for free. I take no money from it. And so you can be certain that any gift you give is helping spread the hope we have in Christ here at home and even all around the world.
Call us now at 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com to get your copy. That's 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com. Today is the last day to get your copy of this great study resource, so don't wait. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.